You have your Bibles open this morning to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter number 22. I want to preach to you this morning on the last prayer of the Bible, the last prayer of the Bible. I trust that you've been praying much. I want you to continue to fast and pray one day a week. If God's led you to do that, God's burdened you to do that, and more if He leads you to do that. But until we are completely out of this situation, and you may find it to be a good practice to continue on to seek the Lord a certain day of the week and in prayer and fasting. But we've considered several things about prayer and still dealing with the Lord's Prayer on Wednesday night, and I will be doing that for some length of time until I get through with it. But I want you to look in your Bible at Revelation chapter 22, the last prayer of the Bible, the last prayer. In Revelation chapter 22, I call your attention to verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Now, in my Bible, surely I come quickly is in red. That's the Lord Jesus. And John, the revelator, is saying that God, the Lord's give him all the revelations of this book, revealing Christ and all that he's going to do. And then he says that the Lord, last thing he said was this, surely I come quickly. Amen. And then here's the last prayer in your Bible. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Can you say another amen right there? Amen. Even so. We were walking in this morning. We were talking about the situation and all the riot and the looting, which has nothing to do with that tragic death of that man there up in Minnesota. And we all have opinions about that. I personally believe that they should be charged with murder, but I'm not into that this morning. That's not what I'm about. But I know this, God is God, amen. And payday's coming someday for everybody. Brother Donnie and I were walking in, and he said, the Lord's gonna straighten all this out, and he will, amen. Last prayer of the Bible, and it's the echo of John's life. It has been the cry of the heart of every believer since then. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would minister to me and to this precious church family. God, you've been so good to us. You've kept us all safe and well through this time. Our Father, we do ask, God, that you continue to bless our Father, our church families, Lord, who have had loved ones in these days to pass away. And God, I pray that God, that you'd bless them. Be with our nation, be with our president, all our governmental leaders. And God, I pray that you'd have mercy. God, bring real repentance and revival to America. And God, I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. John the Revelator, one of the disciples, God chose him. He walked with the Lord. He saw the Lord do miracles, saw him resurrect the dead, heal the blind, heal the lame, saw him multiply a few little fish and loaves of bread and feed 5,000 on one occasion, 4,000 on another, plus that means men and women and children beyond that. But God blessed him to walk with the Savior, to hear his words up on the Mount of Beatitudes. And every time I think about that and read about that, I remember us being there. That's one of the first things that really got in my heart, is being on the Mount of Beatitudes and looking out across the Sea of Galilee and remembered our Lord was there and ministered to all that crowd and then fed 5,000 right there. And what a blessing it must have been for John to have been there, to see his power and to hear his words and to experience his love and compassion and the authority with which he spoke. He didn't speak like any other man. He saw all of that. He saw him brutalized and crucified and resurrected in his power and glory. He saw him, my dear friend, after the resurrection. He saw him in that upper room. He was with him when he ascended back into heaven. And he said, I'm going back to heaven. You're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And John was faithful to that task, but he was arrested and he was beaten and he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And on the Isle of Patmos, God, the Holy Spirit came on him and gave him a vision. He gave him a vision of the risen, glorified Christ. He saw him with fire in his eyes, and he saw him with all of his holiness. He saw that. He saw the rapture of the church. He saw the panoramic view of all the church age and what was going to happen, pictured in the seven churches of Revelation. He saw the rapture of the church. He saw God showed it to him. The Lord showed it to him on an island. He showed him the great tribulation period. He showed the rise of Antichrist. He saw the wrath of God being poured out. He saw men would not repent, but they blasphemed God in their pain. He saw the conversion and resurrection of Israel into a nation once again. And he saw them blessed in that time. He saw the conclusion of the tribulation period when the Lord comes with his saints, when he comes back in the great battle of Armageddon. He saw the valley flowing with blood up to the horse's bridle. He saw that Christ defeat all of the enemies with a sword that came out of his mouth. He saw Satan bound and cast into the lake of fire. He saw all of that. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ victorious rule and reign on the earth 1,000 years when the nature of the animals will be changed and all those things that I was dealing with the other Sunday, the Wednesday night at church. He saw that. He saw, my dear friend, the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. He saw the streets of gold, the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl. He saw every bit of that. I'm telling you, he's having a time. God showed him every bit of that. He saw the new heaven and the new earth, and he saw Christ ruling and reigning forever and forever, and he heard the glories of God's people saying, "Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb." And having done all of that and saw all of that in this book, he comes down and he's at this point and having seen what's going on then and seeing what they were going through and seeing what was going to happen and understanding that one day Jesus Christ would bring it all together and there'd be a new heaven and a new earth. There'd be the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. There'd be perfect bodies without any physical infirmities. There'd be no sickness, no sorrow, no broken hearts, no broken bodies, and there would be no sin, that he was ruling and reigning. And here's what he said. Here's his prayer. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." God, I know what you're going to do, and I want you to do it. Thank God for that. I hope that's in your heart this morning, that you're living with that in your heart. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." My dear friend, listen. He saw the return of the Lord. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." So he realized, and he was thinking about the two advents of our Lord. You say, "Brother Billy, what do you mean the two advents?" The Lord's return is in two stages. First of all, he comes back for his saints in the rapture of the church. And then he comes back with his saints. Let me look at these verses with you just quickly this morning. Look over in the book of 1 Thessalonians. I've quoted it, I don't know how many times from this pulpit, but I want to read it to you this morning. He saw all of those things and he cries, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." He's looking for the rapture of the church. Notice what it said in chapter 4 of the book of 1 Thessalonians, and I begin with verse number 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort or strengthen or hold up or encourage one another with these words." The return of the Lord for us is an encouragement. The return of the Lord is something that keeps us standing straight. The return of the Lord is something that keeps us going on. Jesus is coming again, and this could be the day. Regina and I walked out this morning as a mockingbird, and we listen to him all the time. He's out there. He's just telling the news way up on top of the telephone where our nightlight is outside. And he's telling the news. It sounded like this morning, like he was saying, "Purdy, purdy, purdy." I don't know. He's looking across what's going on here. But I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart that animals will sense the return of the Lord. I believe that there's something in the heart of every true believer that causes them to sense the return of the Lord. Oh, I love old Dr. Loman. You remember that story he used to tell? Bless me so much when I first heard it. He told about the little feller who was flying a kite, and a guy come by And man, he done fed out string. And that guy said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm a flying a kite." And he looked up there and he couldn't see it. It got so high, he couldn't even see it. He said, "How do you know there's a kite up there?" And he said, "It's a tugging on me." And then, you know what? "How do you know there's a heaven up there? How do you know he's coming again?" "It's a tugging on me. There's something pulling at my heart," said Jesus Christ, "is coming again. And you ought to be ready. You better be ready." And here he's looking at the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is where he comes and calls his saints out. Those who are saved by the grace of God, they're going to be taken out. Why? Because he's getting ready to declare war on this nation. Look at what's going on across our country. Not just what we see. What I see is enough to warrant God judging America. What I see is enough for God to judge the world. But he sees far more than we do. He's seen every abused baby. He's been there at the abortion table for every one of those innocent babies that were murdered. Over 42 million last year worldwide. And he attended every one of their deaths. Not a sparrow stumbles to the ground. Don't you know that God is standing there to receive that little one? You say, "Brother Billy, you believe they're in heaven?" I really do. I really do. He's populating heaven with those babies. And listen, God, the Holy Ghost, is working in this nation. There's a real move among God's people of prayer and seeking God's face and believing God. The rapture of the church is the blessed hope, is what it's called. It's the blessed hope. What is our hope for America? What is our hope? It is the return of the Lord. And we ought to live in light of that. Live in light of that return. The rapture is when he comes. And the Bible says he descends and he comes. And the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is those who've died, their bodies in the grave. I do believe that absent from the bodies will be present with the Lord. We have real good friends who preach and teach what they call soul sleep, that people who die, they sleep in the grave. Well, there is sleep taking place, but it's just the body. The soul's with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And what comes out of that grave is the body. It's a resurrected body. You say, "Well, Brother Billy, how can that be?" I can't explain all that to you, but I do know this, that when Jesus' body was in the grave, he was in the lower parts of the earth preaching deliverance to the captivities there. His body is up yonder in the barred tomb, and he's down in paradise leading captivity captive. And my dear friend, that experience is our experience. When we leave this earthly tabernacle, this body, we take flight and go right to be with the Lord. I haven't shared this in so many years, but we went fishing the other day with my grandbabies. That's an experience. And we had a time. I mean, I loved every minute of it. And they had a great time. And I really appreciate the folks that let us go over and fish. But there's a cedar tree over there. I hadn't seen one in a while. And it had some little cocoons on it. I know you've seen these and you see all types of cocoons, but these ones that get on the cedar trees, they wrap themselves in a cocoon, and it has the cedar, little piece of cedar all the way around that. It makes a real tight little house. And if you were to go up there in the early spring, way early, and listen, you would hear in there a little larva, a little worm. You could hear him moving around. And if you go back a little later in the spring and listen to that same cocoon with a stethoscope, you'd say, "Well, he died, because there's no sign of life in there. It's just solid." Well, if you look closer and look right at the bottom, you'd see a little opening. And what happened is the life that was inside of that cocoon has changed. It went through metamorphosis. It changed from being a worm to being a butterfly or a moth. And when it came mature, it came out of that cocoon and took flight and flew away. And my dear friend, when a saint of God dies, we're living in this cocoon. But when we're finished, we come out and we take flight and we fly away. Thank God for that. We're going to go to heaven one of these days as a believer. But the Lord's coming one of these days. He's going to take every one of the saints at the same time. And those bodies will be resurrected and changed. And they rise first. And then we which were alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in air. 1 Corinthians says, this mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. My dear friend, he's going to change us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I want to remind you of something. Every one of us live in a mortal body, a dying body. Every one of us live in a corrupt body. I can tell you how long as a Christian you're going to have to fight sin. I tell you how long you have to fight wicked thoughts, how long you have to battle with your temper or anything else, a depression or anything else. I tell you how long until Jesus comes or takes you home, one or the other. And after that, you'll have a brand new body. This corruptible must put on incorruption. My dear friend, there's coming a time that you won't have any of that anymore. It's called the rapture, when He takes us out of here. Just like this morning, all this great crowd in the building this morning, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible said, the last trump, and you'll be gone. You'll just take off out of here. You'll go to be with the Lord. You say, Brother Billy, you believe that 2020, you still believe that? Just as sure as I'm standing here. If He was to come right now, I'd disappear, and you'd disappear if you know the Lord, and there'd be some sitting around here scared to death. So where'd everybody go? Where'd everybody go? But my dear friend, listen, He's coming back. And oh, I love the hound out of this, Tom Gillen would say. And I just saw this a few years ago. I've been preaching 52, 53 years. And just a couple of years ago, I was preaching over in Lillington at a group for people who had had a tragic death of a young person in their life. And he said, they'll rise first, then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. You see, what's going to happen at the resurrection, at the return of the Lord, is every change. Every person who's saved is going to be changed. Those in the grave get a new body. You and I get a brand new body. We'll be changed. They come up first and we meet them in the clouds. We meet them there. God fixed it so you have a reunion with your babies that are yawning in the grave. God fixed it so you'll be with your husband or your wife or your mama or your daddy or some loved one, your brother, your sister. When He comes, their bodies are coming out of the ground. It's going to be changed. And you'll meet them in the clouds. And then what? Then we'll meet the Lord in the air. Ooh, glory. Thank God for that. I love it. I love the sound out of that. We're going to meet Him in the air. Oh, listen. Old fellow said some people take an airplane ride. But one of these days, I'm taking a plane air ride. I'll meet Him in the air. Thank God for that. Won't that be good? Say amen. Hallelujah. He's coming again. And listen, John saw that. He saw the rapture of the church. Saw the resurrection of those who died, the change of those. He saw all of that. But then there's those time period before He comes in the revelation. And you say, Brother Billy, what happens there? Well, there's things going on down here and things going on up there. We're going to be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's not going to change. The rapture occurs, we're with Him. Praise God, we're going to be with Him. But we leave out of here and we go into the very presence of God in a place called heaven. And what do we do? You say, Brother Billy, what in the world are we going to do while we're there? Well, there's several things we're going to do while we're there. And we're not going to be just strumming on a harp. And a lot of things are going to take place. In the first place, in this interim time when we are raptured out and we're with the Lord, it's a whole different scene than what's going on down here. God delivers us out of here. He's declaring the war on this earth. And so He takes His children, His ambassadors out. But while we are there in presence of the Lord, number one, there's going to be a presentation of us before God. The Lord Jesus Christ said that we are washed with the washing of the water of the Word, that Christ might present us faultless before the Father. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know about you. I'm like Brad. I got a lot of faults. I got a lot of blemishes. And you may not see them all, but they're there. My wife sees a bunch of them. She knows a bunch of them. She could tell you a bunch of them. But I know more of them than anybody. And it haunts me, it hounds me. But one of these days, at the rapture, when we stand in His presence, Christ is going to say, Father, here He is. Faultless. Not one spot, not one wrinkle. You say, Brother Billy, how'd you get that way? It was Him. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But my dear friend, we're going to be there and we'll be presented. That's what's going on. You're talking about a shouting time. Oh, glory, glory. What a shouting time. But all in that, we will be declared blameless at that time, as I said a while ago. And then there's I was talking to somebody the other day. They had a house, a new house. And I said, how do you like it? They said, we like it, but we're just getting settled in. You know what's going to be, while hell's breaking out on this earth tribulation period, you know what we're going to be doing? We're going to be getting settled in a mansion. Praise God. We're just going, during that interim time, that 7 years, we're just going to be settling in. But good news, you ain't got to unpack nothing. Praise God. There won't be boxes to unpack. You don't have to haul it to the dump. You're leaving here light with nothing. But when you get there, you'll have time to settle in. There is a mansion. There's a place prepared for you. And you'll be a settle in time, getting settled in. Oh, listen, you say, Brother Billy, how long did it take us to get over being in heaven? We won't ever get over it. And we don't ever get over it. It'll be glory. It'll be glory. We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But not only will we be doing settle in, there is some business to take place. And that's in Revelation chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians and some other places. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. We'll all have to stand before the Lord and give an account of ourselves of the things done in our body, whether they were good or bad. You say, that don't sound like a lot of fun. It might not be, but it's going to take place anyway. We have to give an account of ourselves, what we did in our body, whether good or bad. It will not determine whether we're in heaven or not. We're already there. But it will determine rewards. It will present us with crowns. And we give Him all the crowns and give Him all the glory at that time. But we will have to give an account of what we did in our body. That's called the judgment seat of Christ for believers. What we did, what we didn't do, and what we could have done. We'll have to give an account for. We need to order our life. He's coming. We need to be ready. The judgment seat of Christ. And then there's going to be real worship. I love it. I love it when God moves in. I love it when the power of God's present, the singing is high and the preaching and the Word of God and the presence of God. I love that. I love it to death. But we're all in a human body. But one of these days when we have a glorified body, it will be worship. Boy, I love that this morning. I appreciate Miss Brenda playing, and I slipped up to her and I said, have you met Jennifer? She said, I have. She has, Miss Brenda has the sweetest spirit, gifted, what a blessing as she is. And I love to hear her play, and I love to hear Jennifer play a while ago. But you know, we have not really ever heard music. You know, I hear people sing sometime, and my wife would say, well, they were a little off key. I didn't know it. I've heard her say something about they came in a little bit early or something like that. I didn't know it because I don't really know what real, you know, how it's supposed to really be. Brad would know all that, and a lot of you would know that. But if it sounds good, I like it. But if it's done right, it's even better. Can you imagine how right it's going to be when we get to glory? I said Wednesday night, me and Brother Gary Mayberry is going to sing a special when we get to heaven. Praise God. I'm talking about real worship, not anything between our soul and the Savior. We'll see Him in all of His glory. And oh, listen, what a time when we'll be having church. While hell's going on this earth, we'll be having church. Oh, we'll be settling in our mansion. That'll be real worship, my dear friend. And then we'll be getting into our eternal routine. There'll be going to be things that we do. I don't have time to get into all that. But there'll be things to do. You think we're going to sit around? No, no. During the millennial reign of Christ, that's going to be after the rapture and after the tribulation period and after the battle of Armageddon, the millennial Christ, He'll rule around this earth for 1,000 years. And they said the Dead Sea's going to dry up and they're going to have salt. And the salt is to season fish with. That's what it says in the Bible. And I've already decided what I want to do for the rest of my life. Somebody's got to catch them fish to feed all them people. And I said, Lord, let me fish. Terry, we'll fish. Praise God. In the millennial reign of Christ, the brim of bed every day and the bass that weigh 27 pounds. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we get to eat them. Eat them. And for those who went to Israel, you can eat them with the head on, the head off, either way. Amen. But, listen, we'll be getting our routine just a little bit in heaven. Oh, walking up and down the streets of gold. Oh, I love to walk the streets of Charleston, South Carolina. I love to walk the streets of Savannah. I love to see those things. Every time you go, something like different. Boy, you go in a certain time of year and that Confederate jasmine blooming all up and down those side streets everywhere, and it just smells so sweet early in the morning. But can you imagine what it's going to be like to walk up and down streets of gold and just window shop in heaven? Can you imagine what it's going to be like walking down and say, Moses, it's good to see you this morning. Elijah, good to see you. I like the way you killed them prophets. Hallelujah. Listen, God's so good. God is good. Thank the Lord. We'll be settling in our routine. Oh, listen, but that's not the end of it. There's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have a big supper, a big feast when we get to heaven. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you say, Brother Billy, what we're going to eat? I don't have any idea. You say, you know it's going to be Bojangles. It might be, but it won't be greasy, and it won't hurt you, and it won't make your doctor mad if you eat it, praise God, if it's in heaven. It might be manna pudding. You can't ever tell. But whatever it's going to be great. The marriage supper of the Lamb. That's more than just a meal. It is a celebration of a union that will never be broken. Hallelujah. Oh, but there's one last thing I'll mention to you that we're going to be doing in that interim time in heaven. We're going to be getting ready to come back with Him. We're getting ready in heaven at the end of that 7-year period to return with Him. Look over in the book of 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. Here's the second part of His coming. And I call your attention to it here in the Word of God. And notice what He said in the first chapter, and notice verse 7. And He said this, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us." Can you imagine that they were going through all kind of persecution and trouble in those days? He said, "When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven," watch this, "with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Then He shall come, when He shall come to be glorified," watch this, "in His saints and to be admired in all of them that believe because of our testimony among you that believe unto this day." Listen, God is going to come back. The Lord's coming back. We're coming back with Him. Revelation, you see heaven open and He's coming back and has that vesture on. It says faithful, and the saints are following Him. And we come to the great battle of Armageddon. We stood there on that mount right there outside of Nazareth and that great valley of Megiddo down through there where the blood will flow to the horse's bridle. Many wars have been fought through there. But we'll be there. But we won't be doing any fighting. We're just going to be watching. And He'll defeat all the enemies. Oh, listen, what a blessed time that's going to be. He's coming back to take vengeance on this world. It's at the conclusion. What's been going on for 7 years, and a Christ has come to the forefront. He's been world dominant for a period of time. He's caused great persecution against the Jews. It's going to be such great persecution. The Bible says that if the days were not shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. But then God, in the interim time there as well, begins to pour out the bowls of His wrath and judgment on mankind because of their wickedness and sin. Babylon falls, and then we come right up to the edge, and then the great battle of Armageddon. All the nations of the world gathered against Israel, and the Lord comes back, and we come back with Him, and the battle is not very long, short-lived. Satan's bound, placed in a place for in the pit for 1,000 years. Now, my dear friend, listen, what a blessed time that's going to be. What a blessed time that's going to be. You say, Brother Billy, I want to do right. What should I do? How should I live? Listen to what I'm fixing to read to you. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Here's what He said. He said in the Revelation over here that where I was just reading to you a while ago, He said this. He said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." And then the next statement, "The grace of God be with you." And here's grace. The grace of God be with you. It's five words. What an admonition to us. But listen, here's this grace teaching us we need to spend these days learning closer to Jesus, more like the Master I would ever be, knowing Him, learning about Him. But then we need to spend these days living a godly life. Living, he said, this passage. It teaches us learning and that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust and that we should live soberly and righteous, godly in this present world. That's what he expects us to do. You say, Brother Billy, what can I do about all this stuff going on around me? Not much. Can't do much. You could pray for our police officers. You pray for those who aren't in harm's way. And you ask God to put a hedge about them, protect them, and pray. But there's not much else you can do. But that's a great thing to do, is pray. But you yourself, my dear friend, you're to live a godly life. Live a godly life. In spite of all that's going on around you, live a godly life. And then he said this, and looking for that blessed hope. You spend these last days learning. You spend these last days living a holy life. And you spend these last days looking for the blessed hope. He could come today. He could come tomorrow. But just as sure as I'm standing here, He's coming. And you need to be ready. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? The last prayer of the Bible, even so come, Lord Jesus. Would you like for Him to come today? Would you like for Him to rid you out of all of this? Would you like to be in a land that's fairer than day? There's only one way to get there. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust Him with all of your heart. In faith, turn from your sin and turn to the Savior and call on Him. Allow Him to do that work in your heart. He said, teach. The grace of God teaches us that we should live godly, soberly. And it teachers, I taught Lynetta this morning, and we've got so many teachers in our church, and their hearts have been sickened and just sad because they're not being able to be with their students. But they want those students to learn. They want them to learn. And as you're a Christian, it's a learning process. Getting saved, you're born again, it's instantaneously, but then it's learning. Grace teaches us, and it's a growing process. You just need to know that. There'll be good days, there'll be bad days, there'll be days you have victory, there'll be days you have failure. But you're learning and you're living. You're living by faith and living under the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God to live a godly, sober life in this present evil world. Live godly. Live godly. Don't act like everybody else around you. Live godly. And then this, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. Live with a life of expectancy and anticipation, looking for Him to return at any minute and knowing that that's our hope. It's the blessed hope. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that God the Holy Ghost to deal with men, women, boys, and girls in the media audience and in this building. And Lord, if they are not saved, not ready for the rapture, I pray, God, they get saved today. God, this is Your work. This is Your people. This is Your place. And God, You're well able to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment through the Holy Spirit. And I pray right now, God, that there'd be some who would give their whole heart and life to You and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray You'd do that. And God, for us who are saved, Lord, we cannot live looking for the return of the Lord and be despondent and despairing. It's a blessed hope. We live with that every day of our life, that Jesus Christ is coming again, and we're looking forward to that. And it gives us a sense of peace, a sense of joy, to know that very soon You're coming again. God, speak to our hearts. Help us to be faithful to You. Help us to do what You'd have us to do.